Did you know that you can listen to our 24/7 talk and music stations using Amazon Echo? All you have to do is say, Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
Or, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio.
Lutheran Talk Radio.
Own thing, you know, there's this recognition that unrighteous mammon...
Lutheran music, Lutheran talk, anytime, day or night, on Amazon Echo.
There is even a hymn now in the latest Lutheran hymnal about unsung saints. Saints who are largely anonymous, maybe known only in their time or in the closest of circles, or those kind of saints you can only find digging deep into the lesser known parts of church history in history books. Names like Johann Esch or Heinrich Voss or Ursula von Munsterberg, names that you probably don't know, are among those unsung saints. How do we remember the saints that we know and the saints that we sometimes fail to remember? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us on this Thursday afternoon to talk about obscure Lutheran saints and how we ought to rightly remember all the saints that have come before us, Matthew Block. He's communications manager for the Lutheran Church Canada. He's editor of the International Lutheran Council's news service, and he's editor of the new book, Saints of the Reformation. Matthew, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks very much.
We're going to be talking about some of these more obscure saints, but someone might ask initially, didn't the Reformers want to get rid of the idea of saints in the church?
I think it's important to remember that the Lutheran Reformation was really conservative in nature. In that sense, the Reformers approached the subject of the saints in the same way they approached every subject, which was to hold up current teachings and practices in the church to the teachings of Scripture, and then pruning what was contrary to the Scriptures. But that was a careful kind of pruning. It's not just cutting down the whole tree unnecessarily. It's certainly true that there were great abuses going on in relation to how the church treated the subject of saints. For a long time, the church had really encouraged devotion to the saints themselves rather than seeing them as teachers who could encourage greater devotion to Christ. We even had some people going around saying Christ was too strict to approach directly or just an angry judge. So if you wanted to find mercy, these people thought you had to speak it through the middlemen of the saints, especially through Mary. Where Jesus was seen as harsh, Mary was seen as gentle and kind. So rather than seeking salvation in Jesus, people turned instead to others. In the process, they missed entirely St. Paul's teaching that Jesus alone is the mediator between God and men. They also missed entirely the teaching that God is love. Jesus cares for sinners and is ready to receive them when they come in repentance. His is a heart of mercy. And it's certainly true that in the Reformation era, a lot of people had that confused, where you had people just treating the saints as kind of magic genies to find your lost shoes, get pregnant, or things like that. The Reformers then, in the confessions, took pains to reject this kind of approach to the saints. They had a very different kind of idea by that term.
So how did the Reformers understand saints?
Well, when we hear the word saint today, we tend to think of someone we consider particularly holy. But the term is actually much broader in the Scriptures themselves. St. Paul uses it basically to refer to any believer in Jesus. When he writes his letters, he addresses the congregations in this or that community as the saints in Ephesus or the saints in Corinth or along that lines. So when we use the term saint, we're trying to really adopt St. Paul's terminology, which is to use it to refer to all those who've been redeemed by Christ through his death and resurrection. It's a definition that includes all Christians, you and me. At the same time, though, we recognize that God has done some particularly important things through specific people down through the ages. We think of the Old Testament prophets, patriarchs, matriarchs. We think of the apostles and the gospel writers. We think of the church fathers and the reformers and other Christian leaders. So when we talk about saints, we have that kind of dual meaning. We have the broader Christian church, but also recognition that some particular saints are worth attending to in a particular way.
Is there a scriptural mandate or encouragement for us, for Christians, to remember their fathers and mothers in the faith?
The author of Hebrews is pretty clear on that. He says that we are to remember those leaders who spoke the word of God to us, to consider the outcome of their way of life and to imitate their faith. He does something similar himself in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, where he commends a number of the Old Testament saints for their faith. But we see it elsewhere in Scripture, too, where God is referred to in relation to the people that he has been in relationship with. So our God is said to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of real people in real history, and it's important for us to understand that history, to learn from the people that God has chosen to relate himself to. So the instruction to remember those who speak to us the word of God and consider their lives is an encouragement to ground ourselves in the history of the church, an encouragement to learn from their teachings and to emulate their faithfulness in our own daily lives.
What is the value of remembering saints, even the obscure ones, as we will hear?
The simple answer is that we remember the saints for our own benefit. It's not because these people need us to think nice thoughts about them. Instead, God uses them to encourage us in our own faith lives. Melanchthon, in particular, tells us there are three things that a biblical approach to honoring the saints includes. The first is that we learn to thank God for the work he has accomplished through them, and that helps us to reflect on the saints in order to point us to the great deeds God has done throughout history. It draws our focus back to God himself and what he has done through real people in real history. The second thing Melanchthon tells us in the confession that honoring the saints does for us is to give us a source of courage and comfort. When we look to St. Peter's denial of Christ, for example, and how Christ received him back, we learn to take comfort that Christ can forgive us and our faithlessness too. So we look at the saints in a way that we probably wouldn't think of in the popular sense of the term. We look at the saints and their failures in this instance to find a source of comfort and mercy because God received them and he will receive us too. The final thing that Melanchthon tells us to do is that by observing the saints in their lives, we can learn to imitate them. That is to say, we learn to look at the content of their faith and believe as they believed. And we look at the holiness of their lives and try to act similarly, the Holy Spirit helping us. Remembering the saints then and their lives encourages us to make their faith our own. It encourages us to work in cooperation with the Holy Spirit and lives of holiness, as the confessions call us to do.
When you put your mind to assembling a book on the saints of the Reformation, what did you have in mind? What did you want to bring to people, especially during this 500th anniversary of the Reformation?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing was to kind of clear up some of the confusion about the term saint, something that we're doing here in this conversation. So the book here has a good long introduction, kind of just breaking down the biblical basis for honoring the saints and the Lutheran understanding of what that means and why it's valuable. At the same time, we didn't want to just talk about it abstractly. We wanted to put it in concrete terms. So we decided to develop biographies for several Reformation figures. Some of these are well known. I mean, in this book, Saints of the Reformation, you'll find biographies of Luther, Melanchthon, Katharina von Bora, for example. But there are also some obscure figures in here, people like Johann Esch and Heinrich Voss, or Ursula von Münsterberg. Those are probably names people don't necessarily know offhand. At the same time, this book also includes some devotional material in the sense that it includes prayers that we can use to reflect on the lives of these saints and thank God for them and help us to learn from them, and also a further reading list for those who are interested in learning more about them.
So you mentioned a couple names there. Just tell us briefly about the two that you mentioned, Johann Esch and Heinrich Voss.
Yeah, Esch and Voss were members of a monastery in Belgium, and their whole monastery actually converted to Lutheranism early on in the Reformation. But the wider Catholic authorities rounded up these monks and put them on trial. Most recanted and were released, but Voss and Esch didn't. So on July 1st, 1523, they were led out to the stake in Brussels and martyred for their faith. At the time, they said that they would retract nothing, they would not disown God's word, they would die as Christians for the truth of the gospel. And after that, their monastery in Belgium was razed to the ground because it was considered polluted, and really it sounds like it's the end of the story. But it isn't. God used the witness of Eschenvoz to spread the gospel. So some of those monks who had recanted were convicted by their martyrdom and returned to the cause of the Reformation with new vigor. Martin Luther wrote a hymn commemorating their death, noting that through it God would spread the message of the gospel. One of the verses of that hymn goes kind of like this: "Flung to the heedless winds or on the waters cast, the martyr's ashes watched shall gathered be at last, and from that scattered dust around us and abroad shall spring a plenteous seed of witnesses for God." So you think you're snuffing out the movement, but God uses it to actually spread the cause of the Reformation, to spread the preaching of the gospel. And as I say, we know that some of the figures, Lampertus Thorne, for example, were convicted by their martyrdom and returned to the gospel, and Thorne himself remained imprisoned for several years as a result of that witness.
Another example that you have for us is Ursula von Münsterberg. Who is this, and why is she remembered as a saint of the Reformation?
In some ways, Ursula von Münsterberg's story is similar to that of Katharina von Bora. Both were from noble families, both were put into convents. But Ursula was actually 38 years old when she orchestrated an escape from her convent in Freiburg, along with two other women. Her departure, because of her status in society, caught the attention of a lot of people. She had been a duchess. She was the granddaughter of the King of Bohemia. Her cousins were dukes in Saxony. So she faced some heavy criticism from some very influential people, including family members who were scandalized by her action. Because of that kind of public face to her leaving of the convent, she felt compelled to explain herself in a letter to her cousin, where she notes that it took her 2 years of study and prayer before she led this departure from the convent. In that letter, she goes on to explain how she had come to understand that relying on monastic vows as if those were the source of salvation was idolatry. Christ alone was the source of salvation. What's interesting about this letter is that it was eventually released publicly as well, became an influential tract that was widely circulated, especially to nuns who were uncertain of their salvation. Luther himself added a preface to this letter, commending it for the reading of the people. We have in Ursula von Münsterberg, then, this figure who demonstrates for us that the Reformation was not just about men doing things. It was something that touched all aspects of society, men and women. We know very little of Ursula von Münsterberg's later life. There are no paintings of her. Most people have never even heard of her. She died in obscurity, distance from her highborn family, and even the place and time of her death are unknown. But faithful women like Ursula remind us that this is something, the Reformation bearing witness to the gospel is something all people are called to do, not always as a writer, perhaps, but in the various vocations in which we find ourselves. Ursula reminds us that we are called to remain true to God's word, even if it should cause family difficulties or lead into other hardships for us.
Now, the book doesn't only deal with the obscure of the Reformation saints. It deals with more well-known saints. Tell us about that.
Well, the other figures in the book, I've kind of just gone through the biographies of two of the biographies in the book. But in the book, we also have biographies on Martin Luther, Katharina von Bora, Philip Melanchthon, Johann von Staupitz, Luther's father confessor. We also have Frederick the Wise in there, Johann Bugenhagen, and Lucas Cranach. So these are some of the figures that we tend to think of when we think of the Reformation. And it kind of demonstrates, in that sense, the spread of people who were involved in this work. We have nobles and commoners, lay people and clergy, professors, and really people who didn't have particularly impressive educations. So there's a widespread men and women. It gives people a glimpse into how the Reformation was more than just theologians talking in academic circles. This was a real thing that influenced real people in their daily lives.
How can our listeners get this book?
The ebook is actually available for free online. You can find it on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Lulu, the iStore, and a variety of different places. The physical book is available for about $3.50 American from Lulu, or you can get it on Amazon.com for a little bit more. Canadians should go to Lulu there because Amazon.ca is not carrying the physical book right now. The easiest way to track it down, though, is to visit www.reformation2017.ca. From there, you can just click Tell Me More and select Saints of the Reformation. Not only will you learn more about the book there, but you can find links to many of the different online stores from where you can purchase or download the book.
Folks, you can find out more about Saints of the Reformation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Matthew Block is Communications Manager for Lutheran Church Canada, editor of the International Lutheran Council's News Service, and editor of a new book, Saints of the Reformation. Matthew, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the Conservative Reformation, talking with Dr. Larry Rast about Holy Communion. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough, and we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Here is a bit of that hymn that I mentioned at the very beginning of this conversation. We sing for all the unsung saints. Good thoughts as we remember, and sometimes fail to remember, so many who have come before us. Though uninscribed with date or place, with title, rank, or name, as living stones, their stories join to form a hallowed frame around the mystery in their midst, the lamb once sacrificed, the love that wrestled life from death, the wounded, risen Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
You can celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation by listening to a special Reformation service on Tuesday evening, October 31st, live from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be preaching. Join us for a live Reformation service Tuesday night, Reformation Day, 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern, 5:30 Mountain, and 4:30 Pacific at Issues ETC and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.